Thanks so much, Aaron. It's great to be with you this morning. Welcome everybody watching online as well. And I also would like to start by saying there's nothing wrong with tanning or indeed straightening your hair. I have no experience of either. But that's not to say that those of you who do indulge in those things is bad. When I ran the tanning salon that Ryan came to, our business was flourishing. So it was great. I also saw Dee this morning on my way in, and it really helped me because I prayed the prayer of Jesus. And I said, Father, forgive him, for he knows not what he does. It's just so good to be here. Last week, Charlotte led and taught through how to pray for daily bread. And we've been in this series on Teach Us to Pray, looking at the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples when they asked him, Lord, teach us to pray. And the words, the voice of Jesus spoke, and he taught them what we call the Lord's Prayer, or some within churches call it the Our Father. And let's just jump in to the next line of the prayer that we're going to look at today, which is, of course, on forgiveness. And it's in Matthew chapter 6, verse 12. And Jesus says this, as he teaches his disciples to pray, he says, and forgive us our sins, or our trespasses, or our debts, as we forgive those who trespass against us, or as we forgive our debtors or those who we are in debt to. Forgiveness holds a central piece in how Jesus teaches us to pray. So much so that a few verses later in how he delivers his prayer, Jesus goes on to do an extra commentary on the topic of forgiveness itself. A wee bit more explanation into what he thinks and is trying to teach us about forgiveness. So you'll notice also in verse 14 and verse 15, that Jesus says this. So he's taught them to pray. He says the amen. So everyone then opens their eyes. Yeah, we're with me, right? Because that's what good Christians do. They pray and they close their eyes. And then Jesus says, amen. Everyone opens their eyes. And then Jesus says, and for if you forgive people their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive people their trespasses, neither will the Father forgive your trespasses. So there's loads to unpack here. And in the next hour and a half, we're going to lay some foundations. I'm not even joking. I'm going to have to speak like I'm double speed. You know, in podcasts, you can put people on like double speed. You're going to need that to do that for me this morning. We're going to lay the foundation of forgiveness this morning. We're going to look at the big story. What is Jesus drawing on? Because the words he uses are significant and they're part of a wider biblical narrative. So we're going to go there, look at the big story of forgiveness. When Jesus prays, what story is he telling? The big story. But then we're going to look at our story, how this impacts us, you and I, in our everyday. And actually, it doesn't start with forgiveness. It actually starts with sin. It starts with sin, with trespasses, and with death. We need to be forgiven. Just like we need daily bread, we need daily forgiveness. We have been forgiven in an ultimate sense as followers of Jesus when he declares it is finished on the cross. We've just sung it, once and for all forgiven. That is absolutely true. But even justified sinners still sin. Even though I'm a sinner and it's finished and I'm justified because Christ has taken the punishment for my sin, I still sin. And so I am forgiven in an ultimate sense, but I still sin. And indeed, I'm still affected by sin around us. 1 John 1:8 is very clear. If we say that we have no sin, we fool ourselves and the truth is not in us. And we want to be people at CFC, do we not, that the truth is in. And so we can't say we do not sin. And also in a systemic sense, not just in an individual sense, but in a systemic sense, around us we are affected by sin. Broken systems in our world, corporate greed, racism, sexism, domestic abuse. Sin is all around us, and so we are very conscious that sin is serious and present in our lives and in our world. But often if that's all we think about in our following of Jesus, it's unhelpful. I'm such a sinner. I'm always in need of forgiveness. I've got my head down. It's a wee bit like Eeyore, isn't it? You sort of have this Eeyore thing. Oh, I'm no good. Eeyore, I'm no good. Sorry, it was my donkey impression. I'm no good. Like, you know, I'm Eeyore. I'm wet. Or we can be like the other character in the Winnie the Pooh. We can be like, well, I'm forgiven. Sin sorted. Everything's sweet. I'm just going to bounce around all over the place. The elephant goes. Crack on. And I'm Tigger. I'm forgiven. And I'm just like bouncing around. Yeah. I sin. Yeah, sin sorted. I'm sweet. And neither are helpful. Neither are helpful. Did I do a good Tigger impression? Yeah, really? Sin is taken seriously in Scripture. Trespasses, debts are taken seriously in Scripture. They're taken seriously by God because of the harm that they do, not only to our relationship with God, but our relationship to one another. Romans 3:23 really clearly outlines this, and it's something that we're all affected by. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so the starting point for today is not actually forgiveness, but it's sin, because we need to be forgiven because of sin. Sin is a reality. God's word is really clear on that, and it affects us all, but it is equally as wonderful and equally as much as reality that God's forgiveness is as real and affects us all. It is a wonderful theme in Scripture, in the big story, that we can praise God because we are forgiven. Psalm 32 opens with this melody. Blessed is the one, some of the words will appear on the screen, whose sins are forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the one against whom the Lord counts no sin. Psalm 103 continues with this theme as the psalmist marvels that God does not deal with us according to our sin, nor repay us according to our wrongdoing. And right the way through into the New Testament, Paul writes in Ephesians, among the first of the spiritual blessings in the heavenly places is the forgiveness of our sins. We are a people who follow Jesus, who know what it's like to be forgiven, and that is something that we praise God for. The biblical story is a story of forgiveness, and it's deeply ingrained in it, our need for it, and God's ability to give it to us. And so when Jesus uses the words that he does for forgive and debt, he draws on words that are culturally embedded in the biblical story. Forgive is aphiama, which means to release or let go. And debt is then ophilema. Ophilema was a financial and legal word that had become to describe sin against someone, sort of culturally evolved to be described and understood in that sense. And so if I wronged somebody, I was in debt to them. I had sinned against them. There was something that needed paid back. And that then also became a phrase that was used to describe sin against God. And it's fascinating as we continue to look at the big story of forgiveness, lay the foundation for forgiveness, that Jesus draws upon these words as he teaches his disciples how to pray. Because we find them way back in the story of the children of Israel. Tim Mackey of the Bible Project does really good work on this, and so I'm going to draw on some of his research. He says, what's really interesting and relevant is the word forgive, aphiema, is used over 50 times in the Old Testament, but over half of those are in one chapter in Leviticus. And it's to do with how the people are instructed to live right with each other. In Leviticus 25, God puts into place in the heart of society a concept called Jubilee. Every 7 years was to be a year of release or letting go, setting free. And then every 49 years, 7 years by 7 years, land debt was released. Land returned to the original owner. Generational poverty was not a thing, and debt was ended. People were let go or released. They were aphiemed. And so here's the connector from where we find that in the Old Testament brought right the way through into the New. See, God had blessed the children of Israel with the land. They had disobeyed, wandered, done all of the things that they shouldn't have done. They had known release. They had their Exodus moment. They had been released, but then they were wandering. But then they were brought into a land. They were let go. They were released into the land. They were free from what had been. They were experiencing milk and honey, the goodness, all of those things they'd experienced. They'd experienced the daily bread. Yeah, that's a connector too. So Jesus says, give us our daily bread. Again, in the culture of the day, they would have gone back to those days in their mind. They would have remembered the daily bread. So we're connecting back to the story, and then we're connecting into the story. They were a people who had been set free by God, and now God wants them to be a people who model out what he has done for them. He wants them to set each other free, to not hold things against them, to release to them, to let go of things that have been done to them, debts to be cancelled to bring freedom. Ah, fiemi. As they had received from God forgiveness, release, being set free, so too they should do that to one another. And so Jesus, when he says these words, is laying those words upon a deep biblical foundation and understanding of what it means to have received so much from God. So therefore, when you meet other people, do to them what God has done for you. And so Jesus' teaching on how to pray is laid solidly on the big foundational picture of forgiveness and release to those who are listening would have latched on to immediately. We have received Jubilee as a people, now we are people of Jubilee. We have received forgiveness, now we are a people who forgive. And to ask for forgiveness helps us understand a few things. To ask for forgiveness helps us understand our propensity to fall short of his glory. It helps us appreciate the power of God to forgive and free us. But then it propels us into his will to be done and his kingdom to come and to be a forgiving people. We understand our propensity to need forgiveness. We delight in the power of God to give forgiveness, but then we are propelled into forgiveness to other people. So now, when we jump back into the text, we see why Jesus prays the way he does. God releases and God sets free. He provides daily bread. He provides daily forgiveness. And we remind ourselves of our freedom every time we pray it. It's a good way to think about it. We remind ourselves of our freedom every time we pray it. But it's not just about the big story of forgiveness. Hopefully, we've laid the big story of forgiveness within its biblical context. But we have our part to play now in this. God's forgiveness of us, that is the foundation, but it needs to be built on. We need to put the layers to it. It needs to be built on. We saw the foundations in the first picture, didn't we? And now it needs to be built on because it's not just about the foundation of God's forgiveness for us, but there's something else that Jesus goes on to say. And there's no getting around this. There's a conditional aspect to forgiveness and how Jesus teaches us. Forgive us, Lord, as we forgive others. There's a connectedness between the forgiveness we receive from God and the forgiveness that we then give to others. And that's also part of the big story. And we're invited into making it part of our story. And I want to own and say this. This next part of talk isn't going to be easy to listen to for lots of us. Because you, like me, have been hurt in your lives by people who you love or people who you don't love, but you've been hurt. And you, like me, have also hurt others. So I don't say these words as if it's like, okay, you know, this is what I'm preaching from the front. You just go out and do this, right? It's like, this is hard stuff. And we will get to what forgiveness isn't later, okay? So we are going to cover that also. It's important to say that when Jesus says forgive, the verb is in the perfect form, and what that simply means is it's continual. So it reads better when we say, as we have forgiven and continue to forgive those who sin against us. Because here's another truth. We not only have we been hurt in our lives to this point, we're going to be hurt again. I bring the great news, don't I? But let's just call it like it is. There's no point going, from the moment you leave here, guys, the rest of your life's going to be sweet. You're not going to be hurt again. That's not the reality. We know that because we've talked about that earlier on. Sin is all around us. We're going to be impacted by it. But Jesus says, as we have forgiven and continue to forgive those who sin against us. The great theologian, and you'll see why I say great theologian in a minute, Scott McKnight says this, some of his words will be on the screen. Forgiveness from God and our forgiving others are tied together by Jesus. This jars our Christian sensibilities, but that is precisely why Jesus says it as he does. We need to hear how connected our forgiveness and God's forgiveness are. Not so we will go about trying to earn our forgiveness by forgiving others, but so we will see the utter importance of being a people who forgive. Being a forgiving people, because we are a forgiven people. And the Lord's Prayer offers a jarring way of praying, because when it talks about forgiveness, it has a conditional clause. In effect, it is saying this: God, I pray for your forgiveness, but only give me the amount of forgiveness that I am giving to other people. That's pretty hard-hitting. And there's an equally great theologian, and we're going to listen to her now, and that's Beryl Quigley. Beryl recorded a video as part of a series we did on the Sermon on the Mount a couple of years ago. Go back and watch those videos, by the way, and if you haven't heard the full story, please do so. Beryl shares her story of seeing her husband being shot and killed by gunmen in the early 80s on her driveway as he headed off to work. Let's listen to the powerful words of Beryl this morning.
So I went into the house, phoned the emergency services. A neighbour who has medical knowledge, she had come up from her house, she'd heard the gunfire. She checked Bill and he was dead and came in to me and said, you really need to go and get dressed, because Gail and I were still in our night clothes. And there was a conversation that went on between me and Jesus. I felt he had entered right into my most devastating crisis in my life. And he was saying, Beryl, what are you going to do about this? And I was saying, Lord, what do you mean? I don't know who these people were. I don't know which tribe they belong to or who they represent. What are you asking me? And he reminded me of the Lord's Prayer, the prayer he taught his disciples. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Going on to that bit where, forgive me my sins as I forgive those who sin against me. And I stopped and I said, Lord, are you asking me to forgive these people? Because I don't know that I could ever do that. But if I need to have clean hands and a pure heart to stand before you when my day comes, then I choose to forgive, but you're going to have to help me every day.
You see, you can teach the Bible, you can teach. But what does Jesus say about himself? The Word becomes flesh. The Word becomes flesh. And in essence, we are taught to pray, Lord, limit the forgiveness you give to me to the same proportion that I give to others. Beryl walks in freedom. See, if she decides to hold on to it, in essence what we're saying is, if I decide to hold on to this and don't release it, well then, Lord, don't release your freedom to me either. Like, the Lord's Prayer is no anemic prayer. The Lord's Prayer isn't an assembly prayer. It's not just a recitation in little colored seats across the primary schools of our nation. It's the Word made flesh. It's earthed and it's grounded. And every time we pray it, we can be reminded we need to practice the art of forgiveness. I think that's why Jesus expands on it once he said amen. Beryl, thank you for giving the permission again to hear that. And if anybody wants to speak to Beryl about that, I know you wouldn't mind this morning, and even praying for people into that. But I think it's why Jesus expands on it, because he knows the difficulty that it's going to present to those who follow him, to those who Louise so beautifully said, hear his voice and know his voice and follow him. So, you know, guys, we can't rule ourselves out of this thing that the voice of the Lord is calling us to. If we're following his voice, then we're following all that he says, even the really hard things. It's almost like, you know, when you open your eyes and they'll be looking around, did he just say what I think he said? And that's why he has to repeat it. It's probably why Jesus later on also in Matthew's Gospel in 18 unpacks it even further in the parable of the unforgiving servant. We remember the story, don't we? The servant who owed the king like £100 billion and was forgiven, and then he was owed like a fiver and, you know, went out and made sure that that guy, if he couldn't pay him back, was put into prison, you know? The connectedness and consistency of Jesus' teaching flows through his teaching. Did he just say what I think he said? And it's important to speak into what is not said about forgiveness. Jesus didn't say forgive and forget. He didn't say just move on, it's fine. And forgiveness does not mean that no harm or damage has been caused. It's also important to say that forgiveness is clearly linked to repentance in Scripture also. A recognition and acknowledgement of wrong is important, particularly if we have wronged someone. Guys, if we have wronged someone, repenting of that is important to then receive forgiveness. And acknowledging wrong has been done and harm has been caused is important for us to receive forgiveness. I had to do it last week. I am so sorry for the wrong, and I need to learn to do things differently next time, which is the heart of repentance. Going this way and realizing that it's been wrong and harmful and turning around and doing it the different way. That's important as we seek forgiveness. And if we have wronged someone, it's important to confess that, change behavior, and receive forgiveness. And right at the start of John the Baptist's ministry, as he comes to prepare the way for Jesus, doesn't he say, I come preaching a baptism of repentance for forgiveness. And Jesus goes on to say in Luke's Gospel, if your brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them, and if they repent, forgive them. Even if they sin against you 7 times in a day and 7 times come back to you saying, I repent, you must forgive them. Quick quiz question, why does Jesus say 7 by 7 there? Come on, East. Be bold. Shout it out. I hear it whispered. I'm not accepting whispers. Whispers aren't answers. Jubilee. It's the same biblical story being retold. Guys, it's radical. Beryl Quigley is radical. She's radical. Jesus is radical. It's a mad teaching. but it's a transformative teaching. And even if there is no apology or admittance of wrong, do you know what? I'm choosing to forgive. Because forgiveness is better for us, even if no admittance of wrong is given to us. Forgiveness is better for you. It actually becomes less about the person who's harmed you and more about you. Numerous studies not only into the mental or emotional benefits of forgiveness, but also the physical benefits of forgiveness. I don't have time to go into the research that I looked at all this week, but there's loads of studies out there. Go and find them yourselves. It will physically harm you if you don't forgive. And it moves from being about what was done to us, which caused harm, to being released from the thing, from further causing harm. If I had denied Ryan access to the tanning bed, I would have caused him harm. And he may not have forgiven me. But actually, because I loved him, I stopped because it was harmful to you. Do you know? It's damaging. You wouldn't be where you are today with your lovely complexion. Marianne Williamson says this: unforgiveness is like drinking poison and waiting for the other person to die. In other words, unforgiveness ultimately damages us. And there's elements of this talk. There's elements when you preach and whenever you share, there's elements that you'd love to go in. I'm pretty open about stuff, right? And there's elements that I'd love to bring you in, do you know? And really tell you some personal stories. I just can't. It'll affect other people. So you've got to safeguard that, you know? And suffice to say this, I know the truth of that phrase by Marianne Williams. If unforgiveness is like drinking poison, thinking somebody else is going to die. And maybe this is why Jesus was emphasizing the importance of forgiving others over and over again, because it's critical to our own freedom. It was for freedom that Christ has set us free. Thank goodness there's one of us reads the Bible in this place. I know you're just shy. Don't get me wrong. Forgiveness does not mean that relationship always reverts back to the way that the things they were before. I want to say this very clearly. You can forgive a person without trusting them again. You can forgive a person without a restored relationship. You can forgive a person and no longer want them or have them in your life. Doesn't mean you haven't forgiven them. But there's elements within that relationship that are not good and positive and harmful for you, so that's okay. And so Jesus isn't being flippant with forgiveness. But he is calling us to a radical understanding of the freedom it brings to us as a forgiven people, to be a forgiving people. Jesus also isn't calling us to be friends with those who cause us harm, who hurt us, offend us. In fact, though we have to love them, as Jesus teaches us, though we forgive them, when he teaches on conflict later on in Matthew, before we get to the parable of the unforgiving servant, he does also say and acknowledge if there's harm caused and they won't acknowledge it, then you don't have to be in close community with that person. Jesus isn't being flippant with forgiveness, but he is so passionate about the freedom that it brings for us. Because forgiveness is not friendship, but it is freedom. Would you stand with me if you're able as the band come back? Can I ask the prayer ministry team to come forward if you're able, please? I just want to lean into response in two ways this morning. And the first is to offer a chance for those who have never known the forgiveness of God, who have never received the forgiveness of God, to come this morning and receive God's forgiveness, because he so wants to give it to you. And so if you're in this place this morning, for whatever reason you're here, you may not even know why you're here. Maybe you're here to receive the forgiveness of God. These people are wonderful, trained, passionate, and have already been praying about this morning, this week. They've already been praying for you. But they would love then to be able to do that with you this morning in person, if that's you, if you'd like to receive God's forgiveness this morning. And if you have been hurt and you're struggling to forgive, or you need to be forgiven, please come and receive prayer this morning as well. This service this morning has been contested all week. There's been contesting. Because in 2 Corinthians it tells us that the enemy's schemes are for us to operate in unforgiveness. It's one of his schemes. Don't let the enemy have a victory in your life today. Don't let him keep a door locked when Jesus wants to open it and bring freedom this morning. And so as the band lead us, are going to sing and lead us in a response song, I Surrender All. Please don't wait. Be bold. Come and receive prayer for forgiveness from God. Or if there's issues in life that you need forgiven for or need to forgive others. And allow the Lord to bring freedom and healing to you this morning. Thanks so much for listening to what was not an easy thing to listen to. Bless you.